We're holding on Chaf Hey Amud Beis, towards the bottom, the first line of the last line of the narrow lines, rather. The Mishnah said, "Hoyim Misanin." If they'd been fasting for rain, and we said rain started falling before sunrise, then we said they can break off a fast, and then we had that was Rav Meir, and then we had Rav Yehuda said that the deadline is before and after Chatzos. If they were fasting and rain fell before Netachama, then they don't have to complete the fast. Rashi says because the fast hasn't really gotten underway yet. I mean, the fast begins, we're talking the early fast begins in Alei Tashachar, or even the later ones begin the evening before, but still most people are asleep until Netachama. Other before we talk about other possibilities that maybe even though the fast begins at Alei Tashachar, but if you accidentally eat between Alei Tashachar and Nes, maybe you haven't lost the fast, as opposed to if you would eat later, then you've broken the fast and you have to make it up some other time. Lacha, Netzachama, but if it's after Netzachama, Yashlimu, then they have to finish the fast, because then it already really got underway. Dibri Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda Omer, the deadline is Kodem Chatzos lo Yashlimu, Lacha Chatzos Yashlimu, it's whether it's before or after Chatzos. Rashi says, because Chatzos is the time when people eat their major meal of the day. Now, actually, in Pesachim, we learned it's not so. Most people eat their major meal of the day at the fourth hour of the day, between 9 and 10 in the morning, let's say, on an ideal day from 6 to 6. But the Talmud Chachamim, we said, they eat during the sixth hour, so we're talking about them. That at least at that time, everybody, including Talmud Chachamim, who eat latest of all, have all eaten their meal. There's other Mefarshim quote from a Yerushalmi that says a different reason why Rabbi Yehuda wants to say that Chatzos is the operative thing, because then once you reach Chatzos already, then more than half the day has been spent in the Kedusha of a Tainis, so therefore you might as well finish it up with that. Rabbi Yossi Omer, this is the third opinion, which wasn't in the Mishnah, if the rain fell before 9 hours into the day, so on a 6 to 6 day, that would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, then they don't have to complete the fast. If it fell after 9 hours into the day, then they should finish it. Why 9 hours? Thus we find that Achav, the king of the Ten Shvatim, she's animitesha shoyt alamayli. He fasted from 9 hours and further. What's going on? Rashi says like this. We're saying that people eat their major meal of the day 6 hours after they wake up. That's why we said the Talmud Chachamim, they wake up Netzachama time and they eat their major meal of the day around noontime. Kings, we learned in Brachas, sleep until the third hour of the day. That's why Soisman Krishma is 3 hours and 3 shows manias into the day, because after that you can't call it Ukumecha anymore. After that everybody's already up. So kings wake up in the third hour of the day. They wake up 9 o'clock in the morning, and therefore they eat their major meal 6 hours later, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now what happened? Okay, I mean they eat something for breakfast usually when they wake up, but their major meal is 6 hours later. So. Now, what happened with Achav? This is the story over there when Achav wanted Novus's vineyard, so he tries to get Novus to sell it. Novus doesn't want to, so Achav goes tells his wife Devil how upset he is, and she trumps up the whole case. You know the story where this client hires false edim, gets the local based in is also corrupt, gets them to falsely convict him of having cursed Hashem and cursed the king. So therefore he cursed Hashem, therefore he gets the death penalty, cursed the king, therefore his property goes to the king. Actually, in Sanhedrin, the Gemara brings another possibility that Novos was Achav's relative, so therefore he yashins it by the regular rules of Yerusha. Yes, so in fact he was killed. And Achav goes to take possession of the vineyard. The Ibishta sends Eliyahu to go and tell Achav off, and to tell him that as punishment for this, you and your whole family are going to be destroyed, dogs are going to lick your blood, dogs are going to eat up Ezekiel, etc. So what happens? Shanemar, the Pasuk says, Haraisa ki nichna Achav, the Ebishter says, so what is it? The Pasuk describes how Achav took the message very seriously. He fasted, he put on sackcloth, there's a medrash that says that he had Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, who was actually his relative by marriage as well, give him malchus every day. So he attempted at least to do some kind of tshuva. And the Ebishter tells Yo, you know what? Have you seen? Have you seen that Achav humbled himself? That he took the message seriously, and he's doing at least the outward forms of tshuva. So therefore, as a reward for that, I won't destroy his family in his own time. He'll live out his life, and he'll be killed in battle, etc. But his dynasty will survive him. It'll they'll only be wiped out in the times of his son, which kakata. Now, if we're saying that he fasted, so what happened again? Up until 9 hours of the day, he's normally fasting anyway, because he's not normally eating his meal of the day until 9 hours into the day. We have the Kabbalah. We have the Kabbalah that this happened in the afternoon. So what happens? He fasted. Vayotzum, the pasuk says, he fasted the rest of that day. So from 9 hours until the end of the day, just like we said in the first parak, that a person can have a kindness charge where they didn't accept the fast on themselves ahead of time, but you have a person like they didn't eat by chatzos, and they say, you know what, let me just fast the whole rest of the day. In Acham's case, it's from 9 hours. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, you see that up to 9 hours, like the fast hasn't really started yet, in a way.
He's working.
Yeah. Actually, Rabbeinu Gershom says a little bit differently, that it's not even that he fasted the whole day. He just, instead of eating at 9 hours like he usually did, he ate at 10 hours. He ate 1 hour later than he usually did. But even that is called a certain form of inui. It shows that he took the matter seriously. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Gozatani. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, again, this is not Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi who wrote the Mishnah, this is his grandson, declared a kindness, V'yodolam Shom Lachar Netzachama. And then rain fell after Netzachama. So he thought you have to complete the fast, like the mayor says. We said in the Mishnah that we had the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that you go before and after chatzos, and that's the awkward thing. Granted, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi, we say you can wait as late as 9 hours, but still, it's before and after chatzos is the key thing. Yes. Gemara tells Shmuel Akatan Gozatani. So Shmuel Akatan, this is the one who's mentioned in Pirkei Avos and Farlog Chal Tismach. He's the one who made up the Birkas that we learn in Brachas. So he's the one that Rabbi Gamliel put him in charge of composing the Birkas Aminim, the Brachas Olam Hashinim. So he was a Tana who he lived right before or right after the Churban. So one time Gozatani, so he declared a tainus, V'yodolahem kshomim lachashkiyas achama, and rain fell only after sunset. So they had to fast the whole day, but then rain fell. I skipped a couple of lines. V'yodolahem kshomim koidem anayt achama. Rain fell before sunrise even. So the people thought, it shows how good we are. Look, we didn't even have to start the fast, and the Eibush sent us rain. Terem yikru v'aniyena. Amalahem, but Shmuel Akatan tells them, no, em shalachem mashal, let me give you a mashal. Lamad javadoyma, what is it like? La'evet shemavakash pras mirabah, it's like a slave who's asking for a bonus, for a present from his master. Amalahem, so the master says to the people in charge of his stuff, you know what, fine, shnuloi v'alash makaylai, just give it to him, I don't want to hear his voice. Like, so to speak, the Eibush is saying, you know what, fine, let me give them rain, I don't want to hear their tefillahs. So not necessarily, it's just a positive thing.
How did he know that?
He didn't, but the Mepharshim say, the thing is, with this and also the next story, yes, each one of them could be understood in a positive way as well. You could say if rain fell before Netzachama, it shows that the Terem Yikru Aniyena, but Shmuel HaKatan figured, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, if the Eibush wanted to show that he's pleased with the people, he would have done it in a way that unequivocally shows that. We'll say in a second how it shows unequivocally. The fact that, like this, it's equivocal, it could be understood one way and could be understood the other way means that Shuv Shmuel HaKotin Gozatani. So then it happened again that Shmuel HaKotin declared a tainis. V'yodolahem k'shom lachar shkia sechama. And this time rain fell after shkia. So this time k'shvurum l'am shvach ha'shal tzibruhu. Again, they thought to say, it must be a good thing for the tzibruhu. Obviously, the Eibush wanted to hear our tefillahs the whole day. Amalahem Shmuel, no, lo shvach ha'shal tzibruhu. It's not necessarily a shvach of the tzibruhu. Ela em shalachem l'ashal, l'ma davdoim. Let me give you a mashal what it's like. La'evet shemavakash pras mirabe. It's like a slave who's asking for a present, for a bonus from his master. Va'amalahem, and the master says to the other people, hamtinu lo, wait, don't give it to him right away. Actually, yismach mechli tzair, until like he's melting away and having tzair, like he's begging for it a whole day and then going crazy. Va'achatach tinu lo, and then give it to him. So the same thing, like maybe, the Eibush is saying, fine, I'll let them suffer the whole day before, The question is, well, Shmuel HaKotin Shvach HaShal Tzibah HaHesi Dami? Well, then fine, according to Shmuel HaKotin, how would it be a Shvach for the Tzibah? How would we say that it shows the Eibush is happy with us? The answer is, for example, Amma Masha Baruch V'Nasha Zika, if we have, like we had the other day in the story with Ilfa and with others, that he says Masha Baruch, and right away the wind starts blowing. Amma Marida Geshem V'Asim Vitri. So you say Marida Geshem, and right away the rain falls. That shows that the Eibush is pleased. But otherwise, and in these other cases, not necessarily. Mishnah said, "Ma'aseh v'gozru tainis v'lud v'chula." That it happened that once they declared a fast in Lud, and then rain fell before chatzos. This is also before when Rabbi Ami was telling Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya that Kodim Chatzos L'Chatzos Shaninu, he's referring to the fact the Mishnah had said Ma'aser Rav that Rabbi Tarfon told them, since the rain fell before Chatzos, then go eat and drink and make it a Yom Tov. So we see the halacha, we see from that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. And so then the Mishnah continues that Rabbi Tarfon told them, go eat and drink and make a Yom Tov. And they did, and then the Mishnah continues, Ben Arbaim V'Koru Halal Gadol. Then they came back in the afternoon and read Halal Gadol. Halal Gadol is capital Hodu Lelekeh Lekim Hodu Lachonah Adonim that we say Shabbos morning. We have to say it at the end of the Seder. The question is. We mentioned in the Mishnah a few days ago. Yeah. So the question is, the name of Halal Mekara. Why don't they say Halal to begin with? Why is he telling them first eat and drink and then say Halal? Abaya and Rava, Dami Tabayus, Abaya and Rava both answered. The reason is, Lafisha and Emim Halal, Elal, Nefesh Sveya, Vakaris Malaya. You only say Halal when your neshama is satisfied and your stomach is full. Why? Rashi says, no, in other words, because this particular kapitel, it says, Noisen Lacham Lachobasa, that the Abisha gives bread, gives food to all flesh, then it's only appropriate to say it, Allah Sova. Now, Tosfos asks the question, so what about, implicitly Tosfos asks the question, so what about we say it Shabbos morning in davening? We haven't eaten yet. So the answer is because there you're saying it before the actual main part of davening. You're saying it in Pesukah, you're saying it like even before Pesukah Dezimra, even before Baruch Shamar. So that, we're not talking about that. We're talking about when you're saying it as part of the official davening, then it has to be Benefesh Tzveya V'Keres Malaya. Thus, in the Haggadah, we only say it at the end, after we've eaten the meal.
That is.
Yeah. Other Mepharshim talk about the idea, actually, that Fakir, when you're saying it as part of Pesukah Dezimra, as a praise to Hashem, as part of the morning davening on Shabbos, that itself satisfies you like a meal. But, I don't remember who says that, but yeah. Rabbi Hananel points out that Halal HaGadol, the Gemara discusses in Pesachim what exactly Halal HaGadol consists of. Does it only consist of that capital Kuf Lamed Vav, or does it consist of part or all of Kuf Lamed Hay as well, the previous capital, which we also say Shabbos morning? According to the opinion that it includes the previous capital as well, then it's also very appropriate to say when rain has fallen, because it has in it the pasuk Mal Nasim Mekseya Aretz, the Eibishter brings up clouds from the edge of the earth, Brokim Lamata also, and he makes lightning to go along with the rain. So then those two kapitlos together are very appropriate to say at a time like this. So you might say, you're telling me you can only say Halal HaGadol when you're full? Vahara Papa Ikla Lebe Knishta de Abi Guver. The Papa one time visited the shul of Abi Guver. It's the name either of a person that it was named after or name of a place. Vagoza Tainis, he declared a Tainis. Vyodulham Kram Ad Chatzos. The rain fell before Chatzos. Vahomer Halal, and he told them to say Halal Vahachach Achol Vashasu, and then to eat and drink. The answer is Shiny. Vene Mechuzah, that was different. This story happened in Mechuzah. This shul of Abi Guver was in Mechuzah. And in Mechuzah, in Ravel, well, where Papa lived in Ravel, sure, but the Shchichi Behu Shichus, it's very common that they get drunk. So therefore, necessarily they have to say it beforehand, because otherwise they may be too drunk to say it.
That's what you do
in the Kiddush
Club.
What? Well, yeah, okay. Even Kiddush Club is only after Shacharis. So, yeah.
Sure.
How do not say the Taniya say? This perek, since we've been talking about the Taniyos, this perek is going to be talking about the dinim of duchening that happened on Taniyos, and then related times also. A part of the perek is going to talk about the Ma'amados, part of it is going to talk about Korban Eitzim, and then it's going to finish off with the fast days that we the fixed fast days that we have throughout the year. Again, for whatever reason, the printer has put all the Mishnayos of the perek together at the beginning. So, the Shloisha Perakim Bashana, there's three times during the year, meaning not necessarily 3 days, but three types of times, three types of days. That Kohenim Noisin as Kapayim Abba Palmim Bayom, that the Kohenim Duchen, they lift their hands, meaning they Duchen 4 times a day. The Shachris, the Musaf, the Mincho, the Ne'ilah Sharim. Shachris and Musaf and Ne'ilah Sharim is what we call Ne'ilah. Rashi points out that the Yerushalmi says two possible reasons why it's called Ne'ilah and when do we say it. One is at the time when they close the gates of the Beit Mikdash, and the other is when the gates of Shemayim are closing, or during a Tainis. We're going to be talking about that they used to say Ne'ilah on the Tanisim as well. So that makes a difference also when you say Ne'ilah. Do you say it at night? Do you say it towards the night? Do you say, yeah?
That raises a question, Mark. What about that we have Mariv that would be after
My Rav is already at night. That's a different thing. But Ne'ilah would be, I mean, the halacha, the way we do it on Yom Kippur is we do Ne'ilah, right, as the sun is, as you know, Trachama B'Rosh Ha'ilonos, as the sun is at the treetops, as the sun is about to set. What are these three times? Bataniyos, Uvamodos, or Yom Kippurim? On the Taniyos, now Mephoshim discussed, do we mean over here all 13 Taniyos? Do we mean only some of them? Which ones do you actually say Ne'ilah on, is the basic question. Do you say Ne'ilah on all these 13 Taniyos that you do for rain, or only on the last 10, or maybe only on the last 7? Uvamodos, Mamodos, which the Mishnah is going to describe, or Yom Kippurim? Elohein Mamodos, Mamodos are as follows. Lafisha Nehmar, the Pasuk says, Savas b'nei Yisrael, command the Jewish people that my food, my carbon has to be the carbon tumen has to be brought every day, and it's supposed to be on behalf of the whole Jewish people. So how can a person's carbon be brought when he's not standing there? You're supposed to actually be there when your carbon is being brought. Therefore, and you can't expect the whole Jewish people to be there; they wouldn't fit for one thing, and you know they have to be at work. Therefore, Hiskinu Nevi'im Harishonim Esrim Va'abam Mishmaris, so the early Nevi'im, the Gemara is going to say that this means Shmuel and David, set up 24 Mishmaris, 24 groups of Kohanim. We've talked about this before, that at the end of Sukkah, notably, that each group would serve for 1 week in the Beis Mikdash. I'll call Mishmo Mishmo Hayamaimed, and corresponding to every Mishmo, there was a Maimed, there was a group of Jews whose job it was. We're going to say, well, Haya Maimed v'Yerushalayim. There was a Maimed in Yerushalayim. Shokayim, Shalavim, Shoyisraelim. Igiyas mana mishmar lalas. So when it comes time for the mishmar to come up, when it's the turn of a certain one of the 24 mishmaras, then the corresponding Maimed would also be up. So therefore, Kohanim Leviim Olam Yerushalayim. The Kohanim and Leviim among that mishmar. There were 24 Mishmaris of Kohanim and also 24 Mishmaris of Levim, corresponding to them. So they would go up to Yerushalayim. The Yisrael Shavuot and Mishmar, as for the Yisraelim from that Mishmar, meaning from that Maimed, Miskansin La'areim, they would gather in their cities all over Eretz Yisrael, for Kohen B'Maisa Bereishis, and they would read from the Torah, Maisa Bereishis. We'll talk about in the Gemara in a couple of days why Dafka Maisa Bereishis. Mephoshim discussed the issue. Are we talking about that some of them were always supposed to be in Yerushalayim and they would be the ones who would actually stand there to observe the korban being brought? And Rashi's going to say later they would also help out with certain things around the Beis Mikdash, and everybody else around the country would gather in their cities. Or is it just whoever happened to be in Yerushalayim would be there? Or was it some Mephoshim? I think the Meirdi talks about that everybody in the Maimon was supposed to come to Yerushalayim unless, like, they're old, they can't make the trip. Then they would just gather in their local cities. The truth is, as far as a lot of what it describes in this Mishnah about how the Ma'amadis worked, there was a lot of machlokas showing him how exactly the system worked and how exactly the various details that the Mishnah is talking about, what they meant. For example, there's the question, you know, when we said Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, does that mean that each Maimed consisted of Kohanim and Levim and Yisraelim? Or is it no? The Mishmar consists of Kohanim, the Mishmar of Levim consists of Levim, and the Maimed, the ones who are actually standing there to observe, is only Yisraelim. Because another way of looking at it is, we said before, last week, that not all Kohanim got to serve in the Beis Mikdash. There were only some of them that had a Kriyas too, so maybe some of the ones who didn't get to serve, or maybe some of the ones from that day's Mishma who didn't get picked in the lottery or whatever, would be in that day's Maimed.
Do we know the answer?
We don't. I mean, it's a machlokas v'shoinim. The Mishnah continues. This part is in parenthesis because the Marsha and a bunch of Mephoshim point out that it doesn't really belong in the Mishnah. It seems to have been inserted by mistake. But okay, we'll learn it anyway. V'ansha Maimed hoy misan and abar yom b'shavua. The members of the Maimed used to fast 4 days in the week. Miyam beis v'adyem chamishi, from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of the week that they were on duty. They would not fast on Erev Shabbos and make way to Shabbos. It's not covered for Shabbos to come into Shabbos fasting. And they would not fast on Sunday of their week. So they don't have to go all of a sudden the short break from rest and pleasure on Shabbos to Tainus of Yom Musa, and then they might die, maybe not die, but at least get sick, whatever. One reason why Mepharshim say this doesn't really belong in the Gemara is because the Gemara is going to talk about why they didn't fast on Sunday, and it's going to give other reasons why they didn't. If we had in the Mishnah an explicit reason, then the Gemara wouldn't have to find other reasons.
Can And maybe it's more to like what I'm one of the only ways that a mikvah would be hazardous to your health is that you were going from hot to cold water, so
okay.
I just not changing.
Part of the machlokas you're showing him also over here, we said that they daven ne'ilah on ma'amados. Part of the question is, did they daven ne'ilah all days of the ma'amad, from Sunday through Friday, or only the days when they were fasting, only Monday through Thursday? What did they read? Vayemarishin Vereshis Vihira. On Sunday, they would read the parts that talk about the first 2 days of Ma'amad Vereshis. Vereshis, which is the first day, and Vihira Kiyah, which is the second. Basheni Yuhaki Vikovu Amaim, Bashlishi Yukovu Amaim Vihima Uris, Baravi Yuhima Uris Vishutu Amaim, Bahamishi Yishutu Amaim Vitoitia Uris, Bashishi Toitia Uris, and Vaiholo Ashamaim. Each day they would read that day, the description of what the Eibishter created that day and the next day. Why? Because Parasha Gdola Koran Oitha Bishnaim, a large parasha, meaning one that has five or six psukim, they would have two people read it. And a small one, they'd have only one person. You need to call up three Olim. Each Ola has to have three psukim, at least. So now you have the sections that talk about Ma'aseh Bereishis. The first section, Bereishis, is five psukim. So we'll talk about the Gemara. We'll talk about tomorrow how they split that into two aliyahs. But Yehira Kiyah, the one for Monday, is only three psukim. So there's only room in it for one aliyah. If they only did the five psukim on Sunday, they wouldn't have enough room for three aliyahs. So therefore, they have to do eight psukim, and they manage to squeeze three aliyahs into that. Similarly, on Monday, they do the one for Monday. They call up the Kohen. And then the one for Tuesday, which is again five psukim, they split between the Levi and the Israel. So also going throughout the week like that, even you get to Friday, the description of what was created on Friday itself is eight psukim, but still eight psukim is not really enough for three aliyahs, only if you don't have any other choice, like as the Gemara will discuss. When you have a choice, then you don't. So instead they would split up the one from Friday into two aliyahs, and then they'd read Vayechol Hashemayim, which is three psukim, and that would be the third aliyah. So that's why each day they would do the next day as well. Yeah. This they would do b'shachris b'musaf. This they would do during shachris and during musaf. Now, what do we mean by musaf? By the way, this is a good time to discuss. Do we mean musaf, what we know as musaf? In other words, so therefore we're not talking about all days of the week. We're just talking about on Shabbos or on any Yom Tovim that happened to be during the Ma'amid. That's what most Rishonim hold. The Rambam has a different shita. The Rambam says that the members of the Ma'amid would daven a special extra tefillah. Besides that they daven Shacharis and Musaf, besides that they daven Shacharis and Mincha and Ne'ilah, they also had a special tefillah which they would daven between Shacharis and Musaf, between Shacharis and Mincha, which was called Musaf. It wasn't the same as our Musaf. But it was an extra tefillah.
They didn't offer a korban.
No, right, because on a regular weekday there is no korban musaf. Right.
But it was called.
But nevertheless, this extra tefillah is called musaf, right? I was thinking. I wonder if it might be. You know, when you get down to it, whenever we say musaf on Shabbos or on a Shodosh or Yom Tov, we always mention the psukim of the korbanos that are brought then. We don't in Shemoneh Esrei of weekdays mention anything about the korbanos. We say that earlier in davening. So maybe what the Rambam holds was their musaf. Maybe it would be an extra tefillah in which they would say the psukim, Savat b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem, etc., describing the korban tamid. I don't know. Whatever it is, that's the Rambam's shita, is that every day they would daven this extra tefillah.
And the Rambam is the only one to have this.
Yes, the Ravid argues on him. Rashi implicitly says that by Musaf we mean what we know as Musaf, etc. Yeah. Anyway, for Mincha, when it came to Mincha, Nichnasin, they would come into Shul, but Bekorin Alpiyin, instead of taking out a Sefer Torah to read these sections from Parshas Bereishis, they would read it by heart, Bekorin Ashma, like people who say Shema. They weren't going to be Matriach then to take out the Sefer Torah three times in one day. Erev Shabbos b'mincha, lohei nechnasin, when it came Erev Shabbos mincha, they would not come into shuls to do their regular maimon thing, but b'nei kvod Shabbos, because they're on Erev Shabbos, because they're busy getting ready for Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah, kol yom sheyesh b'halel, any day when you say halel, in maimon b'shachris, then on that day, they would not have a maimon in the morning.
Halal
meaning exactly what it sounds like when we say halal in davening. Now, practically speaking, Tosfos points out, we're not talking about Yom Tov, because soon the next thing the Mishnah is going to talk about is a Korban Musaf. Every Yom Tov, when you say halal, there's also a Korban Musaf. Here we're saying only halal, we're referring to Hanukkah. We're referring to Hanukkah. That's the only time when you say halal when there's no Musaf. So whenever there's challah, there would not be a maimed. They would not do the official maimed thing in the morning because they're busy. It takes extra time to say challah. Mefarshim discussed, are we talking about that then? Is this talking about only the people in Yerushalayim then would be exempt from the maimed in the morning because they have to be there in the Beis Hamikdash, whereas everybody else around the country, fine, you know, it takes a few extra minutes to say halal, but then you still have time for your maimed stuff, or does it apply all over? Korban Musaf, whenever there was a Korban Musaf, on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, etc., on Rosh Chodesh, etc., then Ein Boi Bane'ilah. Then there would not be a maimed in ne'ilah at the last tefillah of the day. Now Rashi says it doesn't only mean ne'ilah. It actually means there would not be a maimed at mincha or at ne'ilah. Why? Because with there being a korban musaf, they would be extra busy. There's extra korbanos being brought. Yes, the members of the maimed themselves are not participating in the korban. Obviously, that's the kohenim are doing that. But still, they're busy because part of what they would do, Rashi says, is they wouldn't just stand there to observe the korban being brought. They would also help. They would also help by doing things like chopping wood and drawing water and whatever for the needs of the korban. The Tosfos Yom Tov points out that on the face of it, you have the divonim for that, the nesinim. Yeshua had made them, and they were supposed to be wood choppers and water drawers. So the Tosfos Yom Tov says that the nesinim, they would have them chop wood and draw water for the needs of the kohenim and levium themselves, like the korbanos and whatnot. But to actually bring the korbanos, that they weren't going to delegate to the divonim. That they had miyuchasik Jews do. So the members of the maimed then are very busy with that kind of thing. So therefore they don't have time for their maimed exercises in mincha or ne'ila. And again, there's the question whether this only applies to the ones in Yerushalayim or does it apply all over?
Most likely to Yerushalayim.
Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe once you say that it applies to them, then it applies to everybody. I mean, for that matter, there's a different machlokus as well among Rishonim, whether this that we said that they gather in the shuls and read Ma'aseh Bereishis, etc., fakir, is that only the ones who are in the other cities, or does it mean even the ones in Yerushalayim, they have to be there when the korban is brought, maybe assist with the wood and water and whatever, and then go to shul and do their extra tefillos and their laying and whatever, yeah. Korban Eitzim Ein B'mincha. If it was a day when there was a Korban Eitzim, which the Mishnah will describe in a little bit what that is, there were certain times a year when there was a special Korban, in honor of bringing wood to the Beis Hamikdash, then Ein B'mincha. Then there would not be a Maimed at Mincha. There would still be a Maimed at Ne'ila, because Korban Eitzim doesn't take up so much time. But they wouldn't have it by Mincha because they'd still be busy with that.
Korban made of 18.
So that's actually there's yet another machlokes we're showing him about that. The Mishnah is going to describe soon. There were certain families that had every year it was their privilege to bring a korban eitzim on a certain day of the year. But that's the thing. We know there's no question that it meant that they're supplying the wood for the Beis Hamikdash for the next couple of days or weeks or months or whatever it was, according to the schedule that the mission is going to list. But was it that they would actually take some of that wood and bring it to the korban? There is an opinion, I think, of Rebbe, and this is in fact the halacha, that you can do that. An individual can decide, I want to make a korban of wood, and you actually, you treat that wood much like a korban mincha. The kohen takes a handful of it, you put salt on it, etc., and you burn it on the mizbeach. Or is it that the korban eitzim was they did bring the wood, but in addition, with that they brought actual korbanos, actual animal korbanos or nesachim or what have you, and those would be offered on the mizbeach, and the wood would just be placed in the storage chamber until they need it. Yeah. Whatever it is, the korban eitzim, because it was a busier time, so they skipped the maimed by mincha. Now, Mefarshim asks, I mean, since the korban eitzim was only there were eight families or clans, whatever you want to call them, eight extended families that had to bring this wood, why are we saying, for example, the Mishnah is going to say that in Rosh Chodesh Nissan it was the turn of the family of Arach, one of the descendants of Yehuda. So fine, the family of Arach is busy with the korban eitzim. Why does everybody else get to skip the maimed? So some of Farshim say, yeah, that's what it means. It doesn't mean everybody got the skip maimed. It means members of Arach, if they're members of that week's maimed, they get to skip the one by mincha because they're busy with their korban eitzim.
And not the others.
Other Mefarshim say no, because when the people would come to bring the korban eitzim, everybody else would come to honor them and stand up in their honor and join in the simcha and everything, and therefore everybody else is also busier than usual. Divi Rabbi Akiva. This is how Rabbi Akiva says it. Amalai ben Azai ben Azai tells him, no, kachar Rabbi Yeshua Shaina. Actually, Rabbi Yeshua said the other way around. Korban Musaf ein b'mincha. That on a day when there's a Korban Musaf, then they would not have maimed by mincha, but presumably they would have it by ne'ilah. Korban Eitzim ain't Bana Ila. And on the day when there was a Korban Eitzim, they would not have the Maimed by Bana Ila. We'll talk about in the Gemara why. Chazir Rav Akiva liyastrenik ben Azai, and Rav Akiva changed his mind and learns like what Ben Azai says, what Rabbi Yeshua had said.
Why?
Yeah. Tosfos, by the way, had a different girsa before when we were saying in Rabbi Akiva that when there was a Korban Musaf, there was no Maimed in Ne'ilah. Tosfos has a different girsa that actually on such a day, when there was a Korban Musaf, they wouldn't daven Ne'ilah at all. Even though regularly on their day of the Maimed they were daven Ne'ilah, but on a day when there was a Musaf, because they were busy with it, they didn't have time for the extra tefillah of Ne'ilah. Zmanat the Kohenim va'om Tisha. The times when the Kohenim and the people would bring word, there were 9 such days throughout the year. And the schedule was as follows. The Echad ben Nissan ben Orach ben Yehuda. On the first day of Nissan, it was the turn of the family of Orach, a descendant of Yehuda. These are all these families that we're going to mention over here are all families that came up when Jews came from Babel to rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash. All these families were represented over there. The Gemara is going to explain what happened. Basically, they didn't have a supply of wood for the Beit HaMikdash. So these families volunteered to be the ones who are going to bring wood. And they made a girdle. Mefarshim discusses that they made a girdle among all of them, which one brings when, or is it that first you had, for example, the family of Arach volunteered to bring wood that'll last from Rosh Chodesh Nissan until the next date, the 20th of Tammuz. The next family volunteered for the next one, etc. Then after they had gone through all the 8 families, they still had 3 months left from Tevis to Nissan, so therefore they had to make a girdle for that last one. Or is it that to begin with they made a girdle who brings when? Yeah. So Be'echad ben Nissan is b'nei Arach ben Yehuda, Be'esher ben Tammuz b'nei David ben Yehuda, the 20th of Tammuz is the family, the descendants of David, Be'chamisha ba'av b'nei Parish ben Yehuda, Be'shiva boy b'nei Yonadar ben Rechav, Be'asara boy b'nei Sna ben Minyamin, Be'chamisha also boy b'nei Zatu ben Yehuda, V'imahem, and along with the family of Zatu, whose time was on the 15th of Av, along with the come Kohenim Levi'im, V'chol mishatar b'shivtei, any Kohen or Levi or anybody who didn't know what Shevet he was from, which most Mephoroshim say that means, no, so most Mephoroshim say that doesn't mean everybody, because otherwise you'd have tens of thousands of people. So that's why most Mephoroshim say, what we mean is, any person, let's say you had a person, he knew by family tradition that he's from one of these families that are supposed to bring wood, but he didn't know which one. He didn't know whether he's from Orach or David or Zatu or what have you. So then he would join in the one on Tetzvav, on Tuvav.
A lot of these ones that are saying they're... Ben Yehuda, those are someone who's from the tribe of
Benjamin. Yes, and Ben Binyamin similarly means from the tribe of Benjamin, yeah.
So there was one Ben David,
isn't it? So we had Bnei David Ben Yehuda, yeah, the descendants of David, HaMelech, yeah. And on the 15th of Av, also that would come along to join in the thing, were Bnei Goinve Eli, the sons of the ones who stole the pestle. We'll talk about in the Gemara and Daf Ches what that means, that they tricked the guards into allowing them to bring Bikurim, Bnei Kodzik Tziyot, and the sons of the ones who made dried figs. Again, it's all part of that same story. We'll talk about it in 2 days. Be'esrim boys b'nei Pachas Moya ben Yehuda, Be'esrim b'elu b'nei Odin ben Yehuda, and Be'echad b'Tevis Shavu b'nei Parish Shnia. On the first of Tevis, the members of the family of Parosh who already had brought wood from the 5th to the 7th above, they came back again. One of the Tosfos Yom Tov points out the interesting thing of it. The first time around, they brought wood for only 2 days from the fifth to the seventh of Av. Now they get almost the longest one from Rosh Chodesh Tevis to Rosh Chodesh Nissan, full 3 months, and during a leap year, 4 months. Yeah. Mishnah points out Be'echad Tevis Lahoya by Maimed on the first day of Tevis there was no Maimed at all. Shahoya by Halal, the Korban Musaf, for Korban Eitzim, because they had Halal in the morning, and then Korban Musaf in the afternoon, and Korban Eitzim later on in the day. We said before that Halal cancels Maimed by Shachris. Musaf cancels it, we said, according to the final thing that we said, Rabbi Yeshua said, which Rabbi Akiva accepted also, that when there's Korban Musaf, then there's no Maimed by Mincha, because they're too busy. When there's a Korban Eitzim, there's none by Ne'ilah, so therefore there's no Maimed that day. Continues the Mishnah. Chamisha dvarim iru asavaseinu b'shuva also the Tammuz. 5 things happened to our ancestors on the 17th of Tammuz. Chamisha b'tisha b'av, and 5 things happened on Tisha b'av. B'shuva b'av also the Tammuz. Number 1, nishtabru halochos. The lochos were broken. Well, Batala Tamid. Second of all, the Tamid, the Korban Tamid, was stopped. Now, Rashi says that there was a Xeris Hamalchus. The government of that time, the Romans, the Pashtos, or whatever, forced them to stop bringing the Korban Tamid. Different other Mepharshim give different other possibilities. The Rambam says that it happened at the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, so then it wasn't a matter of a Xeris from a foreign government. There weren't any that controlled things to that extent. Then Nebuchadnezzar was the overlord of Israel, but he's still not interfering in internal affairs like that. So then, according to the Rambam, it would have to be that they stopped bringing it because they ran out of animals or whatever. Another possibility that I saw someplace, and I don't know whether it's meant to refer to the first or second Beis Hamikdash, is they stopped bringing the Korban Tamid because they didn't have any Kohenim who weren't Bali Mumim. What with the siege and everything of Yerushalayim, everybody had a Mumim.
Either the animals or the Kohenim.
Either the animals or the Kohenim or Zeta of the government, yeah. Anyway, that happened on the 17th of Tammuz. Number three, Behuvka here, the city was breached, the Romans breached the city wall, and actually we talked about earlier in the Masechta that there's a machlokas between the Babli and the Yerushalmi, whether it was the 17th of Tammuz the first time around by the first Beis Hamikdash as well, or whether the Pasuk says it was the 9th of Tammuz. So we'll talk about that in the Gemara in a few days, but in the first one, the Pasuk says it was the 9th, so the Babli takes that at face value, it was the 9th of Tammuz. The Yerushalmi mentions the possibility that really it was the 17th and they just got mixed up on the dates.
We follow the 17th.
Well, we do the 17th either way, because that's when it was by the second one, and the second Korban is closer in time to us. It's the one we're in Golos because of the second Korban, not because of the first, ultimately. So,
yeah
so therefore that's the one that's more significant. Yeah. Because the Chum weren't going to make us fast, too fast in such close succession. We talked about also when we were talking about on Daf Yud Ches, when we were talking about, when we were talking in Masechta Rosh Hashanah about the four fasts. We talked over there about somebody says, I think the Minchas Chinuch, that actually the original Takana was you have to fast one day during each of the 4 months that it mentions there in the pasuk in commemoration of the tragedies that happen in that month. It doesn't have to be though any particular day. Later on, the Chachamim would say that you're going to have the 10th of Tevis and not any other day, but the 17th of Tammuz and not any other day, etc. The original idea was there has to be one day during Tammuz that you fast because of the breaching of the wall. So it could have been either the 9th or the 17th. Yeah. Number four, Besarach Apostumus as a Torah. Apostumus, the name of a Greek general or whatever, burnt the Torah. Now, which Torah? Some of Farshim say it means actually the Sefer Torah that Ezra wrote. The one that was the most accurate copy. Not Moshe Rabbeinu. That one was lost. That one was hidden away when they hid the Aron before the Korban Bayis Rishon. This is the second Beis Hamikdash. We're talking about Apostumus, the Greek. So one opinion is that we're talking about he burnt the Sefer Torah of Ezra, which at that time was the most accurate copy available. So therefore, that was a real tragedy. The other explanation is it doesn't mean he burnt any one particular. It means in general, he burnt all Sefer Torah that he could get his hands on. Either way, it's a tragedy. And number five, Behemid Selim Behechel. He set up a Selim, an idol, in the Hechel. Now, who's the he? The Yerushalmi talks about, in some of the Farshim quote, that one possibility that means Apostumus, the same Apostumus who wrote the Torah, also set up a Selim over there. The second explanation is actually going back to the first Beis Hamikdash. Menashe, the wicked king of Yehuda, set up an idol in the first Beis Hamikdash on the 17th of Tammuz. So then why is it, the Shagas Aviyah asks, so then why is it listed out of order? Of course, the Moses is the second Beis Hamikdash, Menashe is back in the first Beis Hamikdash. And he says maybe the Mishnah is listing them in the order during the day when each of them happened. The Luchos were broken first thing in the morning, the Talmud was later in the day, Hufka here maybe was in the middle of the day, etc.
Is that so
what? That's one of the reasons why we fast on Shavuot for Talmud,
isn't it?
No, Apostumus is Rafashis, a Greek general or something.
No,
I don't know.
Not
that I know. But Tisha B'Av, number one, Nigzar Lavasenus and the Consular, the Ebishter decreed on the Jewish people that they're not going to go into Eretz Israel, they're going to have to stay for 40 years in the desert. Number two and three, V'chorav Abayis V'Rashonu V'Shnia, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed the first and second time. Number four, Benokadah Beta was captured. That was Shimon ben Kuziva's stronghold. There were hundreds of them. About 50 or 60 years after the Korban, after the second Korban. There were hundreds of thousands of Jews there. They were all killed. They were all killed. A terrible time for the Jewish people for years after that. So therefore, that's because it was such a great. It was during the revolt of Ben Kuziva, Bar Kochba, against the Romans. So he was in Yerushalayim for a while. They drove him out of there. He took refuge in Beit Zer. He fortified it, and eventually the Gemara in Gittin tells the story of how the Romans ended up defeating him. He lost his chosim, etc. And number five, in Nechrashah here. Number five, the city of Yerushalayim was plowed up. And we'll talk about in the Gemara on Daf Test that we learned in Shkolim, actually. We learned in Shkolim, the Yerushalmi said over there that after the first Korban, the buildings themselves were destroyed, but the floor was left intact. That's how we have the story over there about the Kohen who saw a floor tile that looked unusual and he realized that the Aron was under it. After the second Korban, though, the Romans went and actually plowed it up like to destroy any vestige of the Beis Hamikdash. Mishenichnas Av Matin Simcha. So when Av begins, we decrease in joy. Shabbos Shachal Tisha B'Av Lias B'Secha, the week in which Tisha B'Av comes out during that week, also Milosapro Milchabbos. You're not allowed to take haircuts and you're not allowed to do laundry. So we Ashkenazim are machmir all the way from Rosh Chodesh. I don't know where we got it from specifically, but it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch that the we'll talk about actually in the Gemara. There's going to be a couple of different opinions when the various restrictions of the 9 days start. Sfardim still do like the Mishnah does over here, that it's only from the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, which means for them if Tisha B'Av comes out Sunday, then there's next to no restrictions of the 9 days. But for us it's always 9 days. For the Sfardim, no. For Ashkenazim, it is. Uvachamishi mutarin mepnei kvod Shabbos. But if on Thursday you're allowed to take haircuts or wash your clothes because of kavod Shabbos, which means Rashi says even if you're talking about, for example, suppose Tisha B'Av comes out Friday, which nowadays that can never happen. You know, according to our fixed calendar, Tisha B'Av can never be on Friday. But if Tisha B'Av falls on Friday, then even though Thursday is end of Tisha B'Av, you'd be allowed to take haircuts and wash your clothes for the coming Shabbos, Shabbos Nachamu. Mepharshim also discussed the question, so Rashi continues, what about conversely, if Tisha B'Av comes out on Wednesday, needless to say you're allowed to, because then Thursday is already after Tisha B'Av. Mepharshim discussed, what about if Tisha B'Av comes out on Thursday itself? Are you allowed to, according to the Mishnah, are you allowed to bathe and cut your hair? Some say yes, because you saw a covered Shabbos. Others say no, because Tisha B'Av itself, come on. Continues the Mishnah. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yechal adam shnei tefshilin. On Erev Tisha B'Av, a person is not allowed to eat two cooked dishes. Lo yechal. No, Erev Tisha B'Av. Erev Tisha B'Av, as a matter of mourning, lo yechal adam shnei tefshilin. A person should not eat two cooked dishes. This is mainly talking about by Sodom of Sekhes. We'll talk about in the Gemara on Choftes Lamed. We'll talk about that. Lo yechal basav lo yishtayayin. You're not allowed to eat meat and you're not allowed to drink wine. Reb Shimon Gamliel says you should change your usual way of eating. We'll talk about in the Gemara what that means. Not necessarily the Shnei Tefshilin, but we'll see what he means exactly. Yeah. Reb Yehuda Machayev Kfiyas Hamita. Reb Yehuda requires you to overturn your bed. In those days, part of the dinim of an oval was you had to actually flip your bed over and sleep on the other side of it. We don't do that nowadays, partly because our beds are not made to sleep on the other side. But he actually, Rashi says, what means Rabbi Yehuda is saying you have to turn over your bed and not even sleep on it at all. You sleep on the floor. You turn over the bed as a sign of avelos, but then you sleep on the floor. I have heard. The technical halacha is you don't have to. And Shulchan Aruch does mention there are people who have the minhag to sleep on the floor or to use a stone for a pillow or something on Tisha B'Av. Most people are not nayig on that, though. Well, I heard the Chacham, and the Chacham did not agree with him on that. That you don't have to overturn the bed. Now, from Tisha B'Av, we go to Tu B'Av. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, lo hayu yomim tovim leisir, kach misha asa b'yav ochiyem echipurim. There were no greater yom tovim for the Jewish people than the 15th of Av and then Yom Kippur. Why those days? We'll talk about in the Gemara. Shebehen b'noit Yerushalayim yotis b'klei lavan sh'ulin. On those days, the girls from Yerushalayim, or the different girls of B'noit Yisrael, the Jewish girls all over the country, would go out wearing white clothes that were borrowed. Why were they borrowed? Shalei levayis, just misha enlai, not to embarrass somebody who doesn't have white clothes of own. Kol hakelim tovin tevila. All of these dresses, all these white dresses, had to be tovled before they wore them. Because what if the previous owner or whatever was a nidya, for example, you'd become tamei from it. So you don't want that, and you don't want to ask around; it would be embarrassing. So therefore, you just tovel them. Of note, Yerushalayim yotis v'cholus v'kramim. Yerushalayim yotis v'cholus v'kramim. And the daughters, the girls of Yerushalayim, would go and dance in the vineyard. Well, Mahoyoimers, and what would they say? No, it's okay. There's actually people would gather over there. But the Gemara is going to say Bacharim would gather over there to look for Shidduchim. Obviously, they danced in a sneistic way, but in this case, they're looking for Shidduchim. Actually, the Kolboy, though, says an interesting idea. The Kolboy says it wasn't all the girls who did this. Most people did Shidduchim the normal way. This is girls who were too, for example, their parents were too poor to afford them a nabin or whatever. They're not going to be able to find her. They may not be able to find a husband otherwise, so they would do this. But the truth is, it was a more sneistic time. Even, you know, Rabbi Yochanan, who lived 200 years or so after the Churban, says that he says, I remember from when I was a child that the boys, 15 and 16-year-olds, would play together in the street and not come to sin. By the time he got old, you know, standards had deteriorated. So in the times of his boys and girls, yeah, 15, 16-year-olds, yeah. So, yeah.
That was,
and that's Rabbi Yochanan, 150, 200 years after the Churban, remembers from his childhood, Sam. Anyway, what would they say? They'd say, Bachar, son na einecha, please lift up your eyes, and see who you want to choose for yourself. But don't put your eyes on what's beautiful. Put your eyes, pay attention to mishpacha, a girl from a good family. The Gemara is going to quote a braisa that there were three different groups of girls who would say these different things. The beautiful ones would say, re'e ma'ata baralach. The ones who weren't so beautiful but came from good families would say tenei nechav mishpacha. The ones who were neither would point out sheker achein behevel ayofi. The Rebbe, though, actually in a sicha talks about that. Still, I mean, the fact is the Mishnah is not making those distinctions; only the Braisa makes. So the Rebbe wants to say that no, everybody would say what it says in the Mishnah over here. The Braisa supplies more details, but besides that, each group also has something to say for themselves. Yeah.
Also, probably there's like. Good family and
has Yosh Shemayim, true. Yeah.
Probably would just go with the one that is the best thing for her.
Could be. I don't know. Anyway, then they'd continue. Sheker achein v'hevel ayofi. Grace is vain. Beauty is vanity. Isha yiras Hashem, he tisal, a woman who fears Hashem, she should be praised. The Omer and the pasuk continues. Tnu lo mipri yadeha, give her from the fruit of her hand. V'halalo, v'asharim maaseh, let her deeds praise her at the gates. You know, look for somebody who has yiras Shemayim. That's the key thing. V'chenu Omer, and so also we see the pasuk says, go out and see daughters of Tzion, by Melech Shlomo, to see King Shlomo, which throughout Shir HaShirim, whenever it says Melech Shlomo, actually is a reference to the Eivishter. The crown that his mother made for him, his mother means the Jewish people. We have the famous medrash that the famous medrash that Hashem calls us his daughter, his sister, his mother. So that his mother made for him, b'yom chasur nasa, on the day of his wedding, or b'yom simchas liber, and on the day of the happiness of his heart. B'yom chasur nasa is man Torah. The day of his wedding, this means man Torah. And Rashi says that we're using this pasuk to prove how do we know that Yom Kippur and Chamisha Asba'av are these special happy days? Because yom chasur nasa refers to man Torah, meaning when the second luchos were given on Yom Kippur. That the Eibishter repaired the relationship and gave us the luchos, so that's Yom Kippur.
Luchos?
Yeah. But that's not, the luchas include the whole Torah in capsule form. And the day of the happiness of his heart, this refers to the day of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Some of Farshim say that also then refers to Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur of the first Beis HaMikdash, when they started the dedication of the first Beis HaMikdash on Ches Tishrei, 2 days before Yom Kippur, and the dedication lasted for 7 days, and they had 7 days of Sukkot. So Yom Kippur was in the middle of it.
So what did they do for Yom Kippur?
We'll learn in Mari Tatna in a few weeks, Beth Hashem, that another month and a half or so, that they actually ate that Yom Kippur. But we talked about it briefly once, I think. But so therefore, the Yom Simchas Liber, the Binyan B'Smithish, is also referring to that unique, it wasn't the first Yom Kippur, it's the first one in this first B'Smithish, yeah. Marsha says that no, the Binyan B'Smithish is actually talking about Chamisha Asaba Av, because of the various reasons that the Gemara is going to give later on Daf Lamed, why we celebrate Chamisha Asaba Av, some of them have to do with the B'Smithish. Therefore, Yom Simchas Liber, the Binyan B'Smithish is referring to Chamisha Asaba Av, Shibana B'Meher B'Yemeinu, the B'Smithish should be rebuilt speedily in our days. And some of Farshim actually say that there's another connection also. There's the famous thing that everybody's quoted all the time in Sikh, it's a famous Medrash. The Eibishter came in the lion, meaning the Chaneser, came in Mazal Aryeh. It came in Aryeh, in Mazal Aryeh, in Ov, where the Mazal of it is the lion, and destroyed the Aryeh, the Beis Mikdash, Al Manas, on condition that the Eibishter, who is also compared to a lion in Tanakh, will come and rebuild the Beis Mikdash, also the Chodesh Aryeh. So therefore, there's this idea that the building of the Beis Mikdash is associated with Tuba Av. And therefore, that's also part of what the mission means over here, that the Yom Simchas Libur have been in Beis Mikdash, that Tuba Av is associated with the building of the Beis Mikdash. So that according to this explanation, it's Chamisha Asba Av. In Chassidus, in many places, it talks about, and we'll get to it later in the Perek, that there's the idea, the 15th of every month is when you have the ultimate, you know, you have the ultimate strength of that month. That's why Pesach and Sukkot are on the 15th of their respective month. So after the Yerida, after the terrible descent, after the terrible darkness of Tisha B'Av, then we have the growth, the greatness of Chamisha Asba Av is so much greater. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, the Mishnah had said, "B'shloshim prakim mashana koyanim noisin as kapeim." There's three times a year when the koyanim duchen four times a day. And we said though the four times a day are shachris, musaf, mincha, and neila, and the 3 days are tanias, ma'amodus, and yom kippurim. The question is, tanias, ma'amodus, miyikum musaf? On a tanias and on ma'amodus, is there musaf? Now, according to the Rambam, there is, in fact, Musaf on a Mamut, because we said, according to the Rambam, they have a special tefillah called Musaf. So, okay, the Rambam doesn't have the Girsa over here, the same question about Mamadis. Yeah. The answer is Chsuri Mechsur, the Mishnah is missing words, Vachotani. What it means is like this. Vishloisha Prokim, Koinim Noisin as Kapayim, called Manchimus Baldim. There's three times a year when the Koinim Duchen, every time they daven, and of those days, every time they daven, Yeshmehen Abba'apam Mayyad. Some of those days, there's four times a day. Shachos Musaf Mincha Neila or Neila Shorim. The Elu Hain Shloisha Prakim. What are these 3 days? Tanias and Amaras Viyam Aporim. So out of the Tanias, sometimes it happens that on a Tanias there's four Tfilas. Because for example, the Shagas Aryeh points out. For example, you can have that there can be a Tanias on Rosh Chodesh. We said earlier in the Masechta that you're not supposed to fast. You're not supposed to declare a Tanias on Rosh Chodesh. But if it came out on Rosh Chodesh, then you still fast on it. So therefore, you can have a day when there's a Tanias, even though there's Musaf. Similarly with Ma'amadis, it can happen there's a Ma'amad on a day when there's Musaf, and according to the Rambam, on a Ma'amad there's always Musaf. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avavor, Zudiv Rav Meir. This that we said in the Mishnah, that the Koyanim Duchen, on each of those days, by all four tefillos, Shachos, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah, that's only according to Rav Meir. Aval Chachamim, I mean, Shachos and Musaf, yesh ben nesiyas kapayim. The Chachamim say that no, by Shachos and Musaf they do Duchen, Mincha and Ne'ilah ain't ben nesiyas kapayim, but by Mincha and Ne'ilah not. Man chachamim. Now, who are these chachamim? That would be Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, we learn a brayta. Shachris the Musaf mincho neila. Kulam yesh ben nesiyas kapayim. By all of them, the koyanim duchen divir meir. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a shachris the Musaf yesh ben nesiyas kapayim. Mincho neila in ben nesiyas kapayim. And Rabbi Yosi stakes out a middle position. Rabbi Yosi, I'm a neila yesh ben nesiyas kapayim. Mincha in ben nesiyas kapayim. By neila they do duchen. By mincha they do not. Now, for my commentary, what the underlying look like is, Rav Meir Sava, Kol Yom HaTayim, Amai Lai Parasi Kani, Adai, Rav Mincha Sar, Rav Meir says like this, why is it every day, on a regular weekday, now remember, this is, we're talking about the original din was that the Koyanim Duchen every single day. Sfaradim do that at Ayem Hazeh. In many places in Eretz Yisrael, they also do that, or even the Ashkenazim. Other people in Eretz Yisrael only Duchen on Shabbos, and in Yerushalayim, they Duchen every day, yeah. But the Sfaradim, even in Chutzlar, it's Duchen every day. It's brought in various places that the Alter Rebbe in his time, also the Vilna Gaon in his place, wanted to be Teveya to Duchen every day, but it didn't work out, and they realized in a Mishmaim that they're being prevented from doing it. But the original thing was you Duchen every day. So the Meir figures like this. On a regular day, you Duchen by Shachris, but you don't Duchen by Mincha. Why? Mishum Shichris. Because the Kohenim may be drunk. People would drink wine with lunch. That we're going to learn later towards the end of the Amud, that you're not allowed to duchen when you're drunk, when you drank a rabias of wine. So therefore, on a normal day you don't duchen by mincha because they might forget and duchen while they're drunk. Well, hoidna like a shichrus. Well, on the days we're talking about over here on a tainis or on a maimed when they're fasting or on Yom Kippur, there's no shichrus, so there's no problem. So therefore, they might as well duchen by mincha and neila. Rabbi Yehuda says like this: Shachos and Musaf to Chol Yom Leshchiach Shichrus. One time, Shachos and Musaf that on any regular day people aren't drunk because you don't eat before Shachos, you don't eat, or you certainly don't drink wine before Shachos, and even before Musaf, even though technically you're allowed to make Kiddush before Musaf, fine, you're not going to be drinking that much. like goes with Rabbanan. So fine, the Rabbanan are not going to make a gzeira about it. Mincha and Ne'ilah, the Chol Yom Shchichah Shichrus. When it comes to Mincha and Ne'ilah, where on a regular day you might be drunk at that time, God's Rebbe Rabbanan, the Rabbanan made Exeter. They don't want you're going to duchen, let's say, on Mincha by Tainis. You might forget and duchen on Mincha of a regular day, and then you have a problem of Shichrus. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, don't do it on the fast days because you might forget and do it on during the week. Yeah.
Which days would you do it?
On every day of the week, but only by Shachrus, we're saying. Only by Shachrus and on Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh or whatever, on Moses as well. Rabbi Yossi itself, or Rabbi Yossi figures like this. Mincha de'isei b'chol yoyim a'gozer b'rabbanan. When it comes to mincha yidavin every day. So yes, this is logical, like Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Make it zera, you don't want to mix up mincha on a tainus with mincha on a regular day. Ne'ilah de'lesa b'chol yoyim a'ne'ilah, you don't daven every day. Therefore, la'gozer b'rabbanan. Therefore, there's no reason to be gozer. You're not going to mix up. You're not going to say you do it by ne'ilah. You might forget and do it ne'ilah on a regular day. Regular day, there is no ne'ilah. Derech Agav, by the way, you know, we've been talking about that they do Ne'ilah on fast days.
Yes.
The only one we do it nowadays is Yom Kippur. The reason for that is, Mefarshim explained, there was never any takana to begin with to do Ne'ilah on the scheduled fast days, like Shavuot, Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av and the rest of them. It was only for the fast for rain. And since nowadays, like we said earlier in the Masechta Ein Tainus Sibur B'Bavel, that we don't have the full force of a Tainus Sibur nowadays, because we don't have a Nasi, we don't have a Sanhedrin, we don't have a Reish Galusa, etc. Therefore, the only time it's left is Yom Kippur.
They used to only do it for the
unscheduled fast, like the ones for rain or whatever, yeah. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, halacha k'Rav Meir. So Rav says the halacha is like Rav Meir. Rav Yechanan Amar Nogro Am k'Rav Meir. Rav Yechanan says not the halacha is like Rav Meir, but people are noyeg like him. V'Rav Amar Minhag k'Rav Meir. And Rava says, there exists a minhag like Rav Meir. Now, what's the difference? We had a similar thing in Rosh Hashanah. Manda am halacha k'Rav Meir darshin in lava pirka. According to Rav, who says the actual halacha is like Rav Meir, I mean, we would even darshin it in public. In a public lecture, we would inform everybody, you should know the halacha is like Rav Meir, that you duchen by every tefillah. The one who says that it's a minhag, meaning it's a valid minhag. Midrash lo darshinin, we're not going to darshin it publicly, we're not going to announce that you should do it. But if somebody individual comes to ask the psak halacha, we'll tell him go ahead and duchen by mincha. Whereas according to Rabbi Yechanan, it says they were noyig means aruya lo merin, and we don't even pass in that way. The ovid. But if a kohen goes up and duchen to mincha, then fine, he did it. Vloy madrinale. We don't tell him to go down because you don't want people to think that he's a possible kohen. It's because of this, by the way, that let's learn a couple more lines and then we'll see. So far everybody was saying that the halacha or the minhag or whatever is like Rav Meir. Rav Nachman says, no, the halacha is like Rav Yossi. You only duchen by Shachris, by Musaf, and by Ne'ilah. Never by Mincha, not even on the Tainus. Question is, then, even my time of Parasi Kani, you die with Mincha for the Tainus. Well, then nowadays, evidently, sometime after, the halacha is Rav Yossi. The Gemara establishes, yes, Rav Nachman is right, the halacha is like Rav Yossi. You don't duchen by Mincha. But then the question is, the halacha may be that, but in my time of Parasi Kani or Dai Mincha Sadatani. So why is it nowadays we see that the Kainim do duchen by Mincha Batainis? The reason is, given to Basamach Lashkir Sachamach, Kaparasi, since they daven on a regular fast day, there's no Ne'ilah, because we said there's Ne'ilah only on Yom Kippur. So Mincha, they daven close to the end of the day. Therefore, Kitfilas Ne'ilah Damya, effectively, it's the same as Ne'ilah. In other words, Mela, if you daven mincha earlier in the day, we said there's a problem of shichrus. There's a problem. You may mix it up with mincha the other times of the year. But by a tainus, you daven mincha very late in the day, so therefore there's no problem of confusion. In practice, what do? Among us, Ashkenazim and the Kohenim only duchen by Musaf anyway, but even in places where they duchen every day, and by every tefillah, what we do is actually, when it comes to taniyos, the chazan said elakenu v'lakevasenu by mincha and also by ne'ilah. There are minhagim that the kohenim do in fact duchen by ne'ilah. Or minhag is not, mainly because usually by the time you get to ne'ilah, it's very late in the day, and duchening is only supposed to be done by day. But there is actually Munshine writes in Oth Minhag Chabad that in Tufshin in 1939 during the siege of Warsaw, when there was a curfew anyway had to be home before dark, the Friedrich Rebbe instructed the Kohenim and his minion to duchen by Ne'ilah. I'm sure they needed the extra bracha, so that may have factored into it. But whatever it is, so generally speaking, though, we don't duchen by mincha uneila, but we do say elakeinu velakeavasinu based on our gemara over here. That since technically the kohenim could duchen by mincha by a tainus, even though we don't tell them to, nevertheless, though we honor that by saying elakeinu velakeavasinu.
Without making a formal
duchening, right? So the Gemara says, "Dikula amamias shikur also benesias kapayim." Okay, the bottom line is that we do see everybody agrees that somebody who is drunk cannot duchen. Menani mili. How do we know that? Amar b'shur ben Levi, b'shur makapara. Because lama nismucha parshas koyin mevorach parshas nazir. Why does the Torah put together birkas koyinim by dabar Hashem Moshe lema dabar al aron right after the parsha of the nazir? Loimar to tell you, man nazir also b'yayin, just like a nazir is not allowed to drink wine. Af koyin mevorach also b'yayin, the same thing. A koyin is duchening, is not allowed to drink wine. Maskiflav huad Rav Zeira, sort of the father of Rav Zeira, Va'amila Oshia Bar Zavda, asked the question, why? If you're going to compare a Kohen of Duchening to a Nazir, go all the way. Iman Nazir also b'chautzen, in that case, then say, just like a Nazir is not allowed to eat grape pits, which definitely don't make you drunk, but still he's also to eat them, Av Kohen Mabarak also b'chautzen, so maybe also a Kohen of Duchening is not allowed to eat grape pits. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, no, because Omakra, because the Pasuk says about Duchening, the Pasuk says in a different place, L'shorsai ulevorach b'shmoi, that the Kohenim are supposed to serve Hashem and to bench in His name. Therefore, ma m'shoreis mutu b'chartz, and just like a Kohenim serving in the Mishnah, which is allowed to eat grape pits, because all the Torah says about Kohenim serving as yayin b'shecher al teish, they're not allowed to drink wine, but they're allowed to eat grape pits, yeah. Af Kohenim b'vorach mutu b'chartz, so the same thing, a Kohenim is Duchening, is allowed to eat pits. Question is then go the other way. If so, then you say like this. Just like a Kohen who's serving the Beis Hamikdash cannot be a Baal Mum, Af Kohen Mevorach Baal Mum Loi. It's the same thing a Kohen who's Duchening is not allowed to be a Baal Mum. And we know that's not the case. In the next Masechta in Megillah, the Gemara is going to talk about the dinim. It does mention there are various mumim that a Kohen has, he's not allowed to duchen, but there it's not so much because he has mumim, it's because people are going to stare at him, and they're going to be distracted from the bracha. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch it says that nowadays, if the Kohenim cover themselves with the talus, and that we cover ourselves with the talus, then those aren't really an issue. But if you're comparing duchening to serving the Bismikdash, then it should be. The answer is Harikish to the Nazir. Okay, but on the other hand, you have the Hekish to the Nazir. Question is, my chazas the makshas lakula. So who says you should make the hekesh lakula? You're saying that you're going lakula both ways. You're saying you're comparing it to a nazir only as far as getting drunk, but not as far as grape pits. And you're comparing it to a nazir that a baal mum can duchen. And you're comparing it to serving the mitzvah that you can eat grape pits. Why are you going lakula? Go lachumra. He can't be a baal mum and he can't eat grape pits. The answer is asmachta. You know, the whole thing is an asmachta. Midrabanan. So it's midrabanan, this whole concept of lakula, and therefore we go lakula. Different mafarshim have different gersois over here, and then different explanations. The Shagasariya has a whole long explanation that comes out saying that's not actually the not drinking is actually daraisa, not drabanan, but that we're learning it from an asmachta is
not really
right. Tosfos, by the way, points out an interesting thing from here. If we're saying that a Baal Mum is allowed to duchen, then by the same token, there's another din that says that a Kohen who ever worshipped Avodah Zarah is not allowed to serve in the Mishmikdash, even if he does Truba. Tosfos says, if we're saying over here a Baal Mum is allowed to, by the same logic, then a Kohen who ever worshipped Avodah Zarah, as long as he did Truba, is also allowed to duchen. The Rambam disagrees with that.
Not a real Baal Mum, but it's still a Mum.
But, yeah. So the Rambam disagrees with that. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is kind of a compromise. If the person did not do tshuva, if he's a mumer and he did not do tshuva yet from that, he's not allowed to duchen. As opposed to if he did other averes, he can still duchen. But if he did tshuva, then we accept Tosfos' opinion and we allow him to duchen.
The Rambam agrees with that?
No, the Rambam would say that no, it's possible, but yeah.